Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have a returning guest, author and pharmacist, Dr. Tara Kay. Tara grew up in Southern Connecticut and currently resides in the North Shore of Massachusetts. She has been a practicing pharmacist for over 15 years in various settings, is a certified Reiki master, and she has certification in craniosacral therapy. Tara also practices EFT tapping, a hands-on healing technique that balances and realigns energy. She incorporates alternative therapies into the scope of her practice as a pharmacist to improve the health and well-being of her clients. Tara strives to educate her clients and to facilitate their physical, spiritual, and emotional health and growth as they move along their own path toward enlightenment. And today, we are going to talk about her newest book and her thoughts on health and alternative therapies. So let's get going. Welcome to the network, Tara.
Thanks for having me today, Pat.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. The last time we were together, we talked about your book, Let the Sun Shine In, a book about positive affirmation for kids. And that was a great conversation. I enjoyed that. I am an affirmation junkie. But now you have a second book. So tell us about that.
Oh my goodness. Well, this came a lot quicker than I thought it was going to. The new book is entitled Free to Be Me, a book for teens and tweens. And it discusses issues teens face and offers ways adults can support teens.
But I really appreciated the contrast between the childlike drawings. I found that actually it was like a surprise when I saw the drawings, and juxtaposed that with the more mature observations given by your characters, Sunny and Ray. And it highlighted the fact that being a teenager really is quite a balancing act. Are you a child or are you an adult? And if neither, then where in the world are you? So let's just talk about that for a minute.
Yes. So I have had the opportunity over the last, almost 2 years to reside with a teenager part-time. And he's actually the artist of the drawings in the new book, Jacob Hubbard. And through his eyes, and through the eyes of some other teenagers that I have contact with, that's really, their input is what sort of formed the foundation of the book. I interviewed about a half a dozen teenagers, and I had a list of about five questions, which are actually the titles for each section of the book. And I took their responses, and I just sort of, you know, pared it down. But what I realized after reading each of their responses was there was a common theme going on. There was the overall theme of peer pressure. There was the theme of bullying. There was how do we get adults to hear us and not always be telling us what to do, you know, to let us have a voice, even though we understand that we're not adults yet. And then what programs maybe the schools could put into place, or after-school programs that could be implemented to give them the support that they feel they need during this time in their lives.
Now, when you selected these six students, what was their response? Were they excited to give you this information?
Yes. So they, most of the kids were children of friends of mine. Mm-hmm. And they ranged between middle school age and high school. And I was really amazed. The two middle schoolers, one was a boy and one was a girl, they probably had the most heartfelt responses out of all the kids. I mean, to the point where it almost brought tears to my eyes, because they just poured out their hearts and offered really thoughtful observations and insights and suggestions on how some of these issues might be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Do you think in schools, if there was the opportunity for this more of an open conversation within classrooms, within teachers and groups, that maybe the bullying would subside? I just think that people do talk about it, you hear about it all the time, but is it really being addressed?
The teenager that I do live with, he's been a product of bullying in the middle school age, and it doesn't sound to me like there are any programs in place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they may talk about it or talk around it,
yes.
But it doesn't sound to me like there's any support group.
Right.
And one of the kids, the young boy who was in middle school, he had a great thought, and that was, you know, let's band everybody together. You know, let's have support not just for kids in your grade, but let's have it be like a school-wide thing, a school-wide program where younger kids would have the opportunity to meet with older kids and kind of have almost like a big brother, big sister sort of connection and a united front against, you know, bullying's not cool and we're not going to tolerate it in our school.
Right. And I think your book could be a great catalyst for this change, not only for the students and teachers to be reading this, but they could even make their own Free to Be Me version and then share it. I just think if we could just open this up and really open it up for a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how do you see your book being used?
I would love to see it used in that sort of capacity. It's actually my intention to go around to some of the area middle schools and high schools and donate copies of it, like I did with Let the Sunshine In.
Mm-hmm.
And would certainly welcome the opportunity to be part of any program they might implement or go in and speak if that was desired. Brainstorm with the kids on ways that they think these issues could be, yeah, maybe not resolved, but at least mollified a little bit.
Right, right. Right. You could put a workshop together and create a roadshow and get out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that this message of positivity, like your first book, speaks to all of the work that you do and the services you offer. So we're going to kind of segue for a minute. As a pharmacist, you know the dangers of a patient who doesn't pay attention to his or her medication. Again, we talk about positivity and kind of taking the bull by the horns. And so many people have no idea of what they take or why they take, and they just know it's the little yellow pill I cut in half every evening. And actually, many people, especially older patients, take their medications incorrectly, which can cause or even exacerbate a medical crisis. So let's talk about medication management. I know we're switching from bullying to that, but I want to be sure we cover everything today. So let's talk a little bit about medication management.
So medication management is one of the components of my consulting practice. And it really is important because, as you just mentioned, there are plenty of people that don't take their medications as prescribed, and that can be for various reasons. It could be cost. It could be scheduling. You name it. But that can cause a lot of problems. You could wind up with unnecessary side effects. You might wind up having duplicate therapy and not realize that you're on duplicate therapy if you don't have somebody managing your meds and you're not necessarily on top of it. And so that is going to be a key component for me in my practice, helping to educate patients on what their medications are. I mean, let's just take it to the most basic level, what they are, you know, what you're taking it for, how it's supposed to be taken, looking at their medication regimen and trying to identify whether the medications are even effective, if they're being taken at the correct time of day, mm-hmm. if they're being taken with other medications that could, one, either decrease their efficacy or worse, cause a side effect or adverse reaction. And then for people that use supplements or herbs, you know, looking at those along with their prescription medications to make sure that they're being combined safely. And then making recommendations to them, which they can then take back to their prescribers, because the idea is to have us all be a team. And as you, I'm sure, are well aware, there's so many specialties now. It's not just your independent pharmacy and your primary care physician. People have a handful of different doctors that they see, and perhaps just that many doctors are writing prescriptions, and the pharmacy may be the only central point for seeing all of that. And having worked as many years as I have in retail, I can tell you that, that's not even the center point, because you could have somebody who, for the most part, goes to, let's say, CVS, but maybe they had to go to Walgreens at some point, or they had to go to Rite Aid, and then you're missing a piece of the puzzle.
Yep.
And they could still be taking that medication from Walgreens or Rite Aid and getting everything else from CVS, but then if you don't, if they don't explain that to the pharmacist, there's no way of knowing. And then you also have to hope that they're sharing all this information with their prescribers. And, you know, certainly over my years of practice, I've spoken to many prescribers and, you know that sometimes they don't get all the information. I mean, sometimes we might have a drug allergy listed in the patient's profile and they don't, or vice versa. And then there's, you know, another kind of scenario for an adverse reaction to happen.
Absolutely. There's so many touch points when it comes to medication management where things can go wrong. And you said something that I always highlight. One of the things I do in my practice, I do a lot of speaking events regarding patient safety. We have had and held many brown bag events where people bring to my speaking events a brown bag filled with their medications. And we have a pharmacist on premises there to spend time after the event to go through it. And I've seen people just bring in bags and bags of pills dated from maybe 2008. And as you mentioned, several different pharmacies. And yeah, while we like to think that the pharmacist can be that one point of continuity, if people, as you mentioned, go to several pharmacies, well, there you've lost it again. So, so it's so important to maybe pick a pharmacy or pick a pharmacist and have everything kind of flow through that one central place. What about, I discovered Mars, not the planet, but the medication administration record sheets when my mom was in the hospital for many, many years, where then in the morning I could ask the nurse each morning, can I have a copy of my mom's Mars? And that way I knew exactly what she was taking and we could follow that along that way. What do you think of that as a way to manage your medications while you're, at least while you're in the hospital?
Yeah, no, I think that those are great. And as long as everything is being recorded sort of in a timely fashion, then it's good. You know, you've got something to go with. It's sometimes when you've got a scenario where someone's being discharged from the hospital and they've got, let's say, the MARS, but then there's like another list of medications either they were on before they went into the hospital, or there's been some tweaks since they got out of the hospital. And then trying to reconcile what it is prescribers actually want the patients to be on when they leave the hospital.
Right.
And I've seen that to be particularly stressful and dodgy when you're dealing with elderly population.
Right. Right.
And, you know, there could be some confusion there, or if you've got children, their children, trying to manage it. Again, if it's not consistent or you've got, you know, different records stating different things, it gets confusing.
Yep. Lots of opportunities for errors and errors that have serious and grave consequences and side effects. So you offer this service of medication management. Can that be done long distance?
Yes. Yep. I do have an office space in Lynn, Massachusetts, so I have an opportunity to see people that are local to me, but over the last 10 years, when the need has arisen, I can work by email, I can work by Skype, I can work by phone.
And let's stop right now and give us your website address or some contact information. We'll get it again later, but since we're talking about this, let's just grab that now.
So for the time being, I'm using the website www.getoffprescriptionmeds.com. And that is going to be transitioned because I've actually renamed the company to Kenko Wellness, mm-hmm. so that I can incorporate the complementary therapies that I do, the Reiki, the craniosacral therapy, and the emotional freedom technique.
Right.
It's not just medication management, but I'd like to use those complementary therapies perhaps after, let's say, a medication adjustment has been made, mm-hmm. to help the clients balance out their bodies with the energy work.
Right.
As a part of complementary therapy and just a health and wellness program for them.
Right, because the medication side is clearly important, but there's a lot we can do as an individual to help ourselves, maybe to wean off some of the medication or just to feel better. And I introduced mm-hmm. tapping, emotional freedom technique, a few weeks ago on my radio shows, and you wouldn't believe the huge response I received from my listeners, people that never heard of it. So I'd like to get your perspective on that. What is it? How is it done? And why does it work?
Oh, I love tapping.
Me too.
When I worked for CVS, the kids used to call me the tapping fool. It's what I love about it is it's simple and effective. And basically what it is tapping on various acupressure points in the body, places where if you were going to go for acupuncture, they would put the needles, but instead you're just tapping with your fingertips. And you're taking some sort of feeling or emotion, and you're tapping it, reducing the effect that it has in your body, and then potentially eliminating it. And that depends on how deeply rooted the emotion is. Like I've taught my soon-to-be stepson the tapping, and I said, hey, you know, this is perfect. Let's say you have a test that you're going to be having in school and you're really nervous about it, you can tap on it and you can tap that anxiety down, or you could even tap it away depending on, you know, how severe it is. And it's just a great self-help technique. I taught it when I worked in the pharmacies. I show it to people all the time, and I love it. I use it personally. I can't say enough good things about it. And you know, the best thing of all is really there's no side effects. I mean, one thing I have noticed over the summer, I actually did a 21-day tap, and that was just, I used that for changing, let's say, habit or old pattern, because it takes about 21 days for you to change an old habit or pattern. And what I noticed, because that was something that was very deep-rooted for me, is when I began the tapping, it sort of seemed like things got worse before they got better. Mm-hmm. It was almost like the tapping started to bring things to the surface, and it felt uncomfortable for a little bit, and then it just sort of gradually continued to smooth out from there until the issue was resolved.
I'm going to circle back to the initial conversation we had about bullying and emotions and the feelings that teenagers are having when they're being pushed around like this. Can tapping, and it sounds like it can, because you were talking about the anxiety before a test that you talked about your stepson. Let's tie in tapping and maybe bullying and how students and children can use this as a way to release some of this negative energy.
Oh, it most certainly could be used for that. I mean, that's a perfect example. A lot of school-related situations, I mean, it could be bullying, it could be test-taking, peer-related issues. And, you just make up a tapping script. I mean, as I was teaching it to Jake, I said, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. I said, you really just talking about how you feel while you're tapping on those different acupressure points, and you'll start to notice that, let's say you started with stress or anxiety being at a 10, once you've gone about 5 rounds with the tapping, you should notice that it's not as severe.
So maybe take us on a little tapping tour here. Let's say that we are talking about a child who is being bullied in school and has this feeling of fear and anxiety, what exactly would they do? How would they do this tapping? What would they say?
Okay, so if I were going to tap with somebody on bullying, the first tapping point is what they call the karate chop point, and that's on the outside part of the fist. And you tap, you know, just tap repeatedly on that spot. And I might say something like, even though I'm being bullied, I deeply and completely appreciate myself. And then I would say, while tapping on that same point, even though I'm being bullied, I deeply and completely love myself. Then I would go to the next tapping point, which is on the crown of the head. All this bullying is making me so stressed out. And then I would go to the next point, which is the inner part of the eyebrow. I don't like going to school anymore because I'm being bullied all the time. And then I'd go to the outside of the eye and tap. All this stress in my body, it makes me feel kind of sick to my stomach. And then I'd go under the eyebrow, on the top of the cheekbone, that's the next point. All of this nausea I feel in my stomach, I just wish it would go away. And then I'd go to the upper part of the lip. I just wish this bullying would stop. And then I'd go to the chin. I just wish the bullies would leave me alone. And then I'd go to the collarbone to be the next point. I don't deserve to be bullied. And then under the armpit, I am an awesome person. So typically, when I do tapping scripts, either myself or with other people, I'll do several rounds with whatever the negative issue is. And then towards the end, I'll flip it around and tap in positive things.
Okay.
So once we got all of, once the, let's say the child in this case, felt that the bullying, the feelings that the bullying gave them went from like a 10 to, you know, a 5 or less or 0, then we would start tapping in what I'll call like positive affirmations. Mm-hmm. So as you're, you know, you're letting out the negative stuff, but you're replenishing it with something good.
Excellent. I was just going to ask that question since you, you know, you wrote the book on positive affirmations and I'm an positive affirmation person. I didn't know if while tapping you always had to frame everything in the positive, but you just answered that question. So you want to let out that negativity and really kind of dwell on it and feel it till it goes away. Now, can that all, do you think that can all happen within one tapping session?
It depends. Mm-hmm. I think with children, because they don't have the years of baggage that adults have, and I don't particularly like to use the word baggage, but it fits. They, I feel, can have a much quicker response. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, with adults, let's say, you know, you're driving in traffic and somebody cuts you off and you get annoyed with them. I mean, you could tap on that and tap it from, you know, 10 to nothing because, you know, it's not really deep-rooted.
Right, right.
Like the scenario that I mentioned with for myself personally is I had to do a 21-day tap on things that are unpredictable making me feel unsafe. Mm-hmm. And I am so glad that I went through that over the summer, because if I hadn't done that before what's just happened to me, losing my mainstream job now, I think it really would have put me in a panic. And while I do have days where, you know, there's still some anxiety, there's still some fear over the unknown, it's not terror like it would have been.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a matter really of taking control of your of yourself and your emotions. And this tapping, I've been doing it since I was introduced to it just a month or two ago. And I have to tell you, I just love it. It could be done anywhere. I do it every morning, actually, in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I get done, I'm clean and refreshed. And out the door and feeling good. So this is something awesome. Yeah, this is something, again, that folks can do this with you long distance.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, all right. And that website is getoffprescriptionmeds.com. All right, let's talk briefly about Reiki and craniosacral therapies.
So Reiki and craniosacral therapy are different types of energy work. Reiki can be done on or off the body, whereas the craniosacral therapy is definitely more hands-on. Mm-hmm. Now, when I practice Reiki, I do hands-on, but not all practitioners do. And Reiki really helps to balance and align someone's energy. It's non-invasive. It induces relaxation, reduces stress and anxiety and pain, and can increase energy and focus. So it's a really nice complementary therapy to have. And then craniosacral therapy is a gentle, hands-on approach, and it releases tensions that are deep within the body to relieve pain and disruption, and can be used to improve whole body health and performance. And it's usually the practitioners are releasing, I'll call them restrictions, in the soft tissue that surround the central nervous system. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a little, not as deep as a massage, but you're definitely, it's more intimate than Reiki is. Mm-hmm. Reiki is almost more of like a laying your hands on the person's body and allowing the healing to go to wherever that person needs it. And with the cranial, you're actually sort of removing these restrictions with your hands.
Right, right. And again, you offer both of those through your practice as well. One hour sessions, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Now, I'm doing work with essential oils. I've just picked 8 of them in my practice with patient-related healthcare safety. What are your thoughts on essential oils to help with health issues?
I think they can be great. I haven't had a lot of personal experience mm-hmm, with them, mm-hmm. but it is an area that I'd like to learn more about and incorporate into my practice. Mm-hmm. And I'm also just got a workshop on crystals that I'm going to be doing soon, mm-hmm. and then offering that to clients.
Well, plants have energy. Crystals and stones and rocks all have energy. You know, mm-hmm. just go stand under a pine tree and there's energy. So there's so much we could do that's not hoodoo and voodoo. I mean, it's real basic natural ways that we can supplement artificial medications, if you want to call it that, that we mm-hmm. shouldn't just be relying on that. We can rely on ourselves and nature. And that's why I was excited to talk with you today and bring your work to everyone's attention. So we've talked about a lot, actually, bullying and medication management and tapping and Reiki and craniosacral therapy. And is there anything we missed that you would like to talk about?
No, I don't think so. It certainly has been a whirlwind of information.
This is how we roll around here.
It is.
Too much to talk about and not enough time, but at least we've given folks a little smattering of something that they can grab onto. And then if something hits their interest, they can go and find out more information, especially at your website, getoffprescriptionmeds.com. Before we head out, any then final words of advice that you'd like to leave us with?
The one thing that has always been important to me is teaching people to be their own advocate. And I am happy to be a resource. I'm grateful to be a resource. But at the end of the day, I feel good if I can teach somebody and empower somebody on their own behalf. And whether that's these simple techniques like the tapping, and then I teach it to somebody, they go teach it to somebody else and pay it forward in that way. The Reiki and the craniosacral therapy, the reason I got trained to do that is because somebody had done that for me and it was so helpful that I wanted to go and learn how to do it so that I could help somebody else. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what I'm here for. I would like to be of service. Mm-hmm. in any way that I can to help people along their path to health and wellness, to prevention has always been a big thing for me, and safety has always been a big thing.
Me too, and that's why I love you.
I love you too.
All right, so we're sending folks to your website, getoffprescriptionmeds.com. Your books, Free to Be Me. There's just so much to find out about Tara Kay. Tara, thank you for joining us once again today. And actually, we should probably have you back again soon.
Oh, Pat, thank you. It's been a pleasure.